Decay form destroys the souls of dreams, a form of gods to avoid it seems. Seek not its touch, nor beckon its screams, deny it. Watch where you walk, your toes to tread, or hill or rocky riverbed. Hold dear the fears that fill your head, defy it.
From the Listener Song of Secrets, 27th stanza.
Well, you see?
Gaz was sanding the wood on Shallan's wagon. She sat nearby, listening as she worked.
Most of us, we joined the fight at the Shattered Plain for revenge, you know? Those marbles killed the king. It was going to be this grand thing and such. A fight for vengeance. A way to show the world that the Alethi don't stand for betrayal.
Yeah.
Red, a lanky bearded soldier, pulled free a bar from her wagon. With this one removed, it left only three at each corner to hold up the roof. This would help transform the vehicle from a rolling cage into a conveyance more suitable for a light-eyed lady.
I remember it. The call to arms came to us from High Prince Vama himself, and it moved through Far Coast like a bad stench. Every second man of age joined the cause. People wondered if you were a coward if you went to the pub for a drink but didn't wear a recruit's patch. I joined up with five of my buddies. They're all dead now, rotten in those storm-cursed chasms.
So you just got tired of fighting?
Shallan had a desk now. Well, a table. A small piece of travel furniture that could be taken apart easily. They'd moved it out of the wagon, and she was using it to review some of Yasna's notes. The caravan was making camp as the day waned. They'd traveled well today, but Shallan wasn't pushing them hard after what they'd all been through. After 4 days of travel, they were approaching the section of the corridor where bandit strikes were much less likely. They were getting close to the Shattered Plains and the safety they offered.
Tired of fighting? Damnation, no. It wasn't us, it was the storming Light Eyes. No offense intended, Brightness, but storm them, and storm them good.
They stopped fighting to win. They started fighting for spheres.
Every day. Every storming day, we'd get up and fight on those plateaus. And we wouldn't make any progress. Who cared if we made progress? It was the gem hearts the High Princes were after. And there we were, locked into virtual slavery by our military oaths. No right of travel as good citizens should have, since we'd enlisted. We were dying, bleeding, and suffering so they could get rich. That was all. So we left. A bunch of us who drank together, though we served different High Princes. We left them and their war behind.
Now, Gaz, that isn't everything. Be honest with the lady. Didn't you owe some spheres to the debtmongers, too? What was that you told us about being one step from being turned into a bridge man?
Here now. That's my old life. Ain't nothing in that old life that matters anymore. Besides, Brightness Shallan said our debts would be taken care of.
Everything will be forgiven.
See?
Except your breath.
Gaz looked up, the blush rising on his scarred face. There was something desperately affable about these soldiers. They had seized the chance to live a normal life again and were determined to hold on to it. There hadn't been a single problem with discipline in the days they'd been together, and they were quick, even eager, to be of service to her. Evidence of that came as Gaz folded the side of her wagon back up, then opened a latch and lowered a small window to let the light in. He gestured with a smile at his new window.
Maybe not nice enough to befit a light-eyed lady, but at least you'll be able to see out now.
Not bad. Why didn't you tell us you'd trained as a carpenter?
I haven't trained as one. I spent some time around a lumberyard, that's all. You pick up a few things.
It's very nice, Gaz. I appreciate it deeply.
It's nothing. You should probably have one on the other side, too. I'll see if I can scrounge another hinge off the merchants.
Already kissing the feet of our new master, Gaz?
Vatha stepped up to the group. Shallan hadn't noticed him approaching. The leader of the former deserters held a small bowl of steaming curry from the dinner cauldron. Shallan could smell the pungent peppers. While it would have made a nice change from the stew she'd eaten with the slavers, the caravan had proper women's food which she was obliged to eat. Maybe she could sneak a bite of the curry when nobody was looking.
You didn't ever offer to make things like this for me, Gaz. You seem happy to have been made a servant to the Light Eyes again. It's a wonder your shirt isn't torn up from all the crawling and scraping you've been doing.
Gaz blushed again.
So far as I know, Vatha, you didn't have a wagon. So what is it you'd have wanted Gaz to make a window in? Your head, perhaps? I'm certain we can arrange that.
Vatha smiled as he ate, though it wasn't a particularly pleasant smile.
Did he tell you about the money he owes?
We will handle that problem when the time comes.
This lot is going to be more trouble than you think, little Light Eyes. Going right back to where they were before.
This time they'll be heroes for rescuing me.
This lot will never be heroes. They're creme brightness, pure and simple.
Nearby, Gaz looked down and Red turned away, but neither disagreed with the assessment.
You're trying very hard to beat them down, Vatha. Are you that afraid of being wrong? One would assume you'd be accustomed to it by now.
Be careful, girl. You wouldn't want to accidentally insult a man.
The last thing I'd want to do is accidentally insult you, Vatha. To think that I couldn't manage it on purpose if I wanted.
He looked at her, then flushed and took a moment, trying to come up with a response.
I'm not surprised you're at a loss for words, as it's also an experience I'm sure you're accustomed to. You must feel it every time someone asks you a challenging question, such as the color of your shirt.
Cute. But words aren't going to change these men or the troubles they are in.
On the contrary. In my experience, words are where most change begins. I have promised them a second chance. I will keep my promise.
Vatha wandered away without further comment.
That one always walks around acting like a chasm fiend ate his mother. Or perhaps a chasm fiend was his mother.
If you don't mind me saying, Brightness, you have quite the clever tongue on you.
I've never actually had someone's tongue on me, clever or not. I'd hazard to consider it an unpleasant experience.
It ain't so bad.
They both looked at him. He shrugged.
Just saying. It ain't.
I'm going to get some food. I'll help you hunt down the hinge afterward.
Gaz nodded, though he glanced to the side again. That same nervous tick. And didn't join Red as the taller man walked toward the dinner cauldron. Instead, he settled down to begin sanding the floor of her wagon, where the wood had begun to splinter. She set aside the notebook in front of her in which she had been attempting to devise ways to help her brothers. Those included everything from trying to buy one of the soulcasters owned by the Alethi King to trying to track down the ghost bloods and somehow deflect their attention. She couldn't do anything, however, until she reached the Shattered Plains. And then, most of her plans would require her to have powerful allies. Shallan needed to make the betrothal to Adolin Colin go forward, not just for her family, but for the good of the world. Shallan would need the allies and resources that would give her. But what if she couldn't maintain the betrothal? What if she couldn't bring Brightness Navani to her side? She might need to proceed in finding Yorathiru and preparing for the Voidbringers on her own. That terrified her, but she wanted to be ready. She dug out a different book, one of the few from Yasna's stash that didn't describe the Voidbringers or legendary Yorathiru. Instead, it listed the current Alethi High Princes and discussed their political maneuvers and goals. Shallan had to be ready. She had to know the political landscape of the Alethi court. She couldn't afford ignorance. She had to know who among these people might be potential allies if all else failed her.
What of this Sadius?
She flipped to a page in the notebook. It listed him as conniving and dangerous, but noted that both he and his wife were sharp of wit. A man of intelligence might listen to Shallan's arguments and understand them. Aladar was listed as another high prince that Yasna respected. Powerful, known for his brilliant political maneuvers. He was also fond of games of chance. Perhaps he would risk an expedition to find Yorathiru if Shallan highlighted the potential riches to be found. Hatham was listed as a man of delicate politics and careful planning. Another potential ally. Yasna didn't think much of Thanadol, Bathab, or Sabariel. The first she called Oily, the second a dullard, and the third outrageously rude. She studied them and their motivations for some time. Eventually, Gaz stood up and dusted sawdust from his trousers. He nodded in respect to her and moved to get himself some food.
A moment, Master Gaz?
I'm no master. Sixth noun only, Brightness. Never could buy myself anything better.
How bad exactly are these debts of yours?
Well, one of the fellows I owed was executed. But there is more. 80 ruby bromes, Brightness. Though they might not take them anymore. It's my head they may want these days.
Quite a debt for a man such as yourself. Are you a gambler, then?
Ain't no difference, sure.
And that's a lie. I would know the truth from you, Gaz.
Just turn me over to them. Ain't no matter. I'd rather that than be out here wondering when they'll find me anyways.
Shallan watched him go, then she shook her head, turning back to her studies.
Yasna said that Yurithiru is not on the Shattered Plains. But how was she certain? The plains were never fully explored because of the chasms. Who knows what is out there?
Fortunately, Yasna was very complete in her notes. It appeared that most of the old records spoke of Yurithiru as being in the mountains. The Shattered Plains filled a basin.
Noadon could walk there.
Shallan flipped to a quote from the Way of Kings. Yasna had questioned the validity of that statement.
Yasna has questioned pretty much everything.
After an hour of study, as the sun sank down through the sky, Shallan found herself rubbing her temples.
Are you well?
Pattern liked to come out when it was darker, and she did not forbid him. She searched and found him on the table, a complex formation of ridges in the wood.
Historians are a bunch of liars. That wasn't a compliment.
Oh.
These women were supposed to be scholars. Instead of recording facts, they wrote opinions and presented them as truth. They seem to take great pains to contradict one another, and they dance around topics of import like sprint around a fire, never providing heat themselves, just making a show of it.
Truth is individual.
What? No, it's not. Truth is... it's truth. Reality.
Your truth is what you see. What else could it be? That is the truth that you spoke to me. The truth that brings power.
She looked at him, his ridges casting shadows in the light of her spheres. She'd renewed those in the high storm last night while she was cooped up in her box of a wagon. Pattern had started buzzing in the middle of the storm, a strange angry sound. After that, he'd ranted in a language she didn't understand. Panicking Gaz and the other soldiers, she'd invited into the shelter. Luckily, they took it for granted that terrible things happened during high storms, and none had spoken of it since.
Fool! Start acting like a scholar! Yasna would be disappointed.
She wrote down what Pattern had said just now.
Pattern, this table has four legs. Would you not say that is a truth? Independent of my perspective?
What is a leg? Only as it is defined by you. Without a perspective, there is no such thing as a leg or a table. There is only wood.
You've told me the table perceives itself this way.
Because people have considered it long enough as being a table. It becomes truth to the table because of the truth the people create for it.
Interesting.
She wasn't so interested in the nature of truth at the moment, but in how Pattern perceived it.
Is this because he's from the cognitive realm? The book says that the spiritual realm is a place of pure truth, while the cognitive is more fluid.
Sprin, if people weren't here, would Sprin have thought?
Not here, in this realm. I do not know about the other realm.
You don't sound concerned. Your entire existence might be dependent on people.
It is, but children are dependent upon parents. Besides, there are others who think...
Voidbringers.
Yes. I do not think my kind would live in a world with only them. They have their own Sprin.
Their own Sprin?
Pattern shrank on her table, scrunching up, his ridges growing less distinct as they mashed together.
Well?
We do not speak of this.
You might want to start. It's important.
Sprin are power. Shattered power. Power given thought by the perceptions of men. Honor, cultivation, and another. Fragments broken off.
Another?
Odium.
Shallan wrote furiously.
Odium. Hatred. type of spren? Perhaps a large, unique one, like Kusisesh from Eerie, or the Night Watcher. Hatred spren.
As she wrote, one of her slaves approached in the darkening night. The timid man wore a simple tunic and trousers, one of the sets given to Shallan by the merchants. The gift was welcome, as the last of Shallan's spheres were in the goblet before her, and wouldn't be enough to buy a meal at some of the finer restaurants in Cabranth.
Brightness?
Yes, Cerna?
The other lady, she asked me to tell you.
He was pointing toward the tent used by Tin, the tall woman who was leader of the few remaining caravan guards.
She wants me to visit her?
Yeah, for food, I guess.
Thank you, Cerna.
Shallan's slaves were a quiet group. They had tattoos on their foreheads rather than brands. It was the kinder way to do it, and usually marked a person who had entered servitude willingly, as opposed to being forced into it as a punishment for a violent or terrible crime. They were men with debts, or the children of slaves who still bore the debt of their parents. These were accustomed to labor, and seemed frightened by the idea of what she was paying them. Pittance though it would see most of them freed in under 2 years. They were obviously uncomfortable with that idea. Shallan shook her head and packed away her things. Tin's tent was large and well lit. The woman didn't travel like a simple guard. In many ways, she was the most intriguing person here. One of the few light eyes aside from the merchants themselves. A woman who wore a sword. Shallan peeked in through the open flaps and found several parshmen setting up a meal on a low travel table, meant for people to eat at while sitting on the floor. The parshmen hurried out, and Shallan watched them suspiciously. Tin herself stood by a window cut into the cloth. She wore her long tan coat buckled at the waist and almost closed. It had a dress-like feel to it, though it was far stiffer than any dress Shallan had worn, matched by the stiff trousers the woman wore underneath.
I asked your men, and they said you hadn't dined yet. I had the parshmen bring enough for two.
Thank you.
Shallan entered and tried to keep the hesitation from her voice. Among these people, she wasn't a timid girl, but a powerful woman, theoretically.
I've ordered my people to keep the perimeter clear. We can speak freely.
That is well.
It means you can tell me who you really are.
I'm Shallan Devar, as I have said.
Yes.
Tin walked over and sat down at the table.
Please.
Shallan seated herself carefully, using a ladylike posture with legs bent to the side. Tin sat cross-legged after flipping her coat out behind her. She dug into her meal, dipping flatbread in a curry that seemed too dark and smelled too peppery to be feminine.
Men's food?
I've always hated those definitions. I was raised in Tubela by parents who worked as interpreters. I didn't realize certain foods were supposed to be for women or men until I visited my parents' homeland for the first time. Still seems stupid to me. I'll eat what I want. Thank you very much.
Shallan's own meal was more proper, smelling sweet rather than savory. She ate, only now realizing how hungry she was.
I have a span reed. It's connected to one over in Tashik, at one of their new information houses. You hire an intermediary there, and they can perform services for you. Research, make inquiries, even relay messages for you via span reed to any major city in the world. Quite spectacular.
That sounds useful.
Indeed. You can find out all kinds of things. For example, I had my contact find what they could on House Devar. It is apparently a small, out-of-the-way house with large debts and an erratic house leader who may or may not still be alive. He has a daughter, Shallan, who nobody seems to have met.
I am that daughter, so I'd say that nobody is a stretch.
And why would an unknown scion of a minor Vaden family be traveling the Frostlands with a group of slavers? All the while claiming she's expected at the Shattered Plains, and that her rescue will be celebrated? That she has powerful connections, enough to pay the salaries of a full mercenary troop?
Truth is sometimes more surprising than a lie.
It's all right. You don't need to keep up the front with me. You're actually doing a good job here. I've discarded my annoyance with you and have decided to be impressed instead. You're new to this, but talented.
This?
The art of the con, of course. The grand act of pretending to be someone you aren't, then running off with the goods. I like what you pulled with those deserters. It was a big gamble, and it paid off. But now you're in a predicament. You're pretending to be someone several steps above your station and are promising a grand payoff. I've run that scam before, and the trickiest part is the end. If you don't handle this well, these heroes you've recruited will have no qualms stringing you up by the neck. I've noticed that you're dragging your feet, moving us toward the plains. You're uncertain, aren't you? In over your head?
Most definitely.
Well, I'm here to help.
At what cost?
I want in on whatever you're planning. You came all the way here to the Frostlands for something. Your plot is likely no small con, but I can't help but assume that you don't have the experience to pull it off.
Who should I be for this woman? Who do I need to be? She seems like a master con artist. I can't fool someone like this. Except I already did. Accidentally.
How did you end up here? Leading guards on a caravan? Is that part of a con?
This? No. It wouldn't be worth the trouble. I may have exaggerated my experience in talking to the caravan leaders, but I needed to get to the Shattered Plains, and I didn't have the resources to do it on my own. Not safely.
How does a woman like you end up without resources, though? I think you would never be without.
I'm not, as you can plainly see. You're going to have to get used to rebuilding if you want to join the profession. It comes, it goes. I got stuck down south without any spheres, and am finding my way to more civilized countries.
To the Shattered Plains. You have a job there of some sort as well? A con you're intending to pull?
This isn't about me, kid. It's about you, and what I can do for you. I know people in the war camps. It's practically the new capital of Alethkar. Everything interesting in the country is happening there. Money is flowing like rivers after a storm, but everyone considers it a frontier, and so laws are lax. A woman can get ahead if she knows the right people. But if she doesn't, she can make enemies really quickly. Trust me, you want to know who I know, and you want to work with them. Without their approval, nothing big happens at the Shattered Plains. So I ask you again, what are you hoping to accomplish there?
I know something about Dalinar Kolin.
Old Blackthorn himself? He's been living a boring life lately, all superior like he's some hero from the legends.
Yes, well, what I know is going to be very important to him. Very.
Well, what is this secret?
Shallan didn't answer.
Not willing to divulge the goods yet. Well, that's understandable. Blackmail is a tricky one. You'll be glad you brought me on. You are bringing me on, aren't you?
Yes. I do believe I could learn some things from you.